Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
No.
Game of Thrones.
No. No Game of Thrones.
Jamie Lannister, Jon Snow's girlfriend, had the best boobs.
I don't like that.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Game of Thrones. And
stop.
Ned Stark.
Welcome to Suicide Pact, everybody.
Dragons and wizards, Game of Thrones.
Your neighbors are going to call the police.
Welcome to the Wizarding World of Game of Thrones
podcast.
Where we talk about dragons and cool shit like that.
So Game of Thrones premiered last night. The final season premiered. And this is a real tough point in any relationship where one person watches...
Papa! Brothers and sisters! Having kids!
Having kids. See, this is what... Ian watches Game of Thrones, and I do not.
Mm-hmm.
And around this time, every couple years, it takes him a while to come out with a new season.
I don't think we've been together when there's been a season of Game of Thrones out.
You said the last one was 2017.
When did we start dating? 2016? Oh, you're mad at me? I don't give a shit! It's Game of Thrones time!
I'm gonna be silent.
Break up with me. See if I give a fuck.
Okay, fine. We're broken up.
More time for dragons, bitch.
I'm not joking. We're broken up.
Find my sorting hat.
We broke up over
Game of Thrones.
What
if I don't watch Game of Thrones either?
Find my sorting hat.
I'm just trying to get you out of the house for a little bit. It's time for me to watch Game of Thrones. Bring me my lightsaber.
Gimli, get over here.
Bilbo.
Did you enjoy the episode? We won't spoil anything. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I read online that a lot of people didn't like it.
Was it boring?
Well, I think that every season people forget that the show was mostly just people in costumes talking to each other in fancy accents.
Thank you. That's exactly why I haven't watched it.
I mean, I'm at the point now where I don't even know. I honestly don't even know if it's good. I'm just
You're just
committed.
So far in.
I like it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching it, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you if it's good. I do think that there's like some of the dialogue. I'm like, oh, that's great. Like,
yeah,
it's becoming very self-aware and it pokes fun at itself.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that last night.
Yeah, well, that was. I watched the final episode of the previous season. And there's a moment where this character, Sam, walks in to, I think his name's, I always get a,
Bron.
Bron. You watched the first season, so you know.
No, I just know from people
Bron.
Talking.
Bron, yeah. Yeah, and so Sam walks in and he goes, Bron, what happened to you beyond the wall? And Bron goes, I became the three-eyed raven. And Sam goes, oh, I don't know what that is. I thought that was I thought that was like a wink at the camera. Like,
yeah, like
all of this is
what
stupid.
What the fuck is any of this?
And then
Bron
goes. Sam goes. Did you see this in a vision? And then Bran just holds up a letter. He's like, no. That's his letter. He's kind of like, you idiot.
Maybe they're having comics punch it up.
And then the new episode had some like really
funny
moments, I thought.
Well, that's good. I'm sure it's enjoyable. There's something about the universe that I never could get into. It was a lot to do with characters' names and it.
But that's weird that you're into Harry Potter and you can't do
it's not the
Lannister
same thing.
Or
That's
Targaryen.
It was like a cold, medieval aesthetic that I found unappealing.
Mm.
Harry Potter's not the same.
You were never a Tolkien.
No, I couldn't get into Tolkien either.
I get that. I mean,
Tolkien's boring.
I got into it like at the perfect age. Like you're supposed to be a 13-year-old boy, yeah. I feel like. Yeah. And even then, I'm like, good God.
Yeah, I tried.
Shut the fuck up.
Tried reading The Hobbit. I got like 4 pages
well,
in.
The beginning of The Hobbit is like the Bible.
It was
It's like
so,
this person begat this person.
It was just like describing the fucking moors or whatever they live in, the Shire.
The Shire.
For pages and pages. And that was like back when I would read constantly. I just spent all my summers like devouring books, and I was like, I'll read The Hobbit. And I was like, no.
You know what helped me is I had this giant, like, leather bound, it was a picture book, essentially. So it was like you'd read 3 pages and then there'd be a giant painting of the Goblin King. It made things.
There's a Goblin King?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Did I miss that in the movies? I've seen the movies. Oh, haven't
you
seen
saw
the
Lord
Hobbit.
Of the Rings. You haven't seen The Hobbit. The Hobbit movies are dog shit. They're really,
really
bad. Yeah.
Oh, that's just, but isn't it... I almost said
Peter
Sam,
Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
It's Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson plays Bilbo. No, Bilbo?
I'm sick of these motherfucking goblins on this motherfucking...
Shire?
Shire.
Wait, what's the... There's
that's
Bilbo.
My black guy voice.
Bilbo, and then what's his name?
Frodo.
Frodo.
So Frodo is from Lord of the Rings. Bilbo is from The Hobbit.
Frodo is from The Godfather.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He gets killed.
Elijah Wood is in The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the kiss of death.
Yeah.
And he says, I knew it was you, Frodo.
Okay. I'm glad I'm all caught up now.
Speaking of the mafia, we tried to go to an Italian restaurant around here in Harlem, and we heard it was good from some like wise guys.
Yeah, in Little Italy, they told us we gotta go to Rao's,
and we tried to go. It turns out that the mob, is it the mob?
No, I don't know. I don't know the history of it. I know. I think people have been killed there. I don't. You know. I don't know anything about it. I just know it's impossible to get in. It's been booked for 35 years solid.
Right, because I think it's like the same wise guys. Eating there every day.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we thought we could just... I was like looking for an open table thing. I was like, oh, let's go to Rao's. Hey.
Gabagool.
We thought we could just show up, be like, table for two, please. And they're like, who do you know?
And we're like, Frodo Baggins.
Frodo sent us. I heard you can get a drink there. I'd like to go do that
sometime.
Yeah,
let's go do it. Let's wear like pinstripe suits.
Okay, I'll
put your hair up big.
Yeah, I'll like spray my hair up and be like, hello, table, can we just want a drink? I'll just have a Negroni, please.
And I'm like, oh, that's all I say. Oh.
And then at some point we'll get into a fight and I'll throw a drink in your face. I think that's what's supposed to happen.
And they'll go, these guys are the real deal.
Whoa, of big fake nails. And a leopard print dress. We might get thrown out for being...
I don't think you can offend East Coast Italians because they're just offensive.
That's true.
They're offensive to themselves.
I remember you telling me when you first started watching The Sopranos that you thought that was like made up. That Italian people...
Yeah, well, I'm from Michigan, so we don't have, those type of people.
Oh yeah,
it's a better place.
That's
honestly.
Oh, Michigan.
Yeah, well, I mean, for that reason.
No Italians.
It's devoid of Italians.
Is
it's a
true?
Paradise.
You didn't know any Italians?
No, I'm sure there's Italians all over Michigan.
Okay, sorry.
Michigan's lousy with Italians, but they don't behave the way that everybody in the East Coast who's an Italian, like true East Coast Italian, they believe that they are in the mafia, or they know somebody that's in the mafia, and it's so fucking obnoxious.
That's
people don't behave like this.
Identity.
It's all based on movies, you know?
Yeah, it's all made up.
The Godfather is bullshit. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
He made up all that stuff. my daughter's wedding, all the rules.
But
Mario Puzo?
Puzo. Don't you think that has actually influenced the real mafia?
Yes, absolutely.
That's so funny.
But it's very specific to this area.
Yeah, I know. I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania. We're all over there. I mean, I'm Italian, but I don't do that. I'm actually disappointed that my Italian family had no, like, cultural pride at all. They're just like...
What do you mean?
No tracksuits, no Sunday dinners.
That's not culture.
No gold chains.
It's not culture. It's a bastardization. There's a great episode of The Sopranos where they all go to Italy.
Yeah, and they hate it, right?
Well, I mean, Paulie hates it the most.
Mm-hmm.
He pretends like he loves it, though. But he's like asking for more gravy on his pasta. And they're like, oh, we don't know what the fuck that is.
They put gravy on pasta?
No, that's what they call... You should know
in
that.
In Italy?
No.
I told you, I'm a lousy Italian. Here, I don't know anything.
East Coast Italians here call pasta sauce gravy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're retarded.
I don't understand. Just call it sauce. My mother's sauce.
No, they say gravy.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather put gravy on pasta. I don't like red sauce. My dad always used to tell me I'm a terrible Italian because I hate red sauce. Marinara sauce? I don't like it. I don't like tomatoes. I like tomatoes a little better now, but like spaghetti with just red sauce, I hate it. I like creamy.
Even if it has
like
meat in it?
Alfredo. It's all right, but I don't prefer it. I like a cream. That's why you say I always like French foods. It's like heavy cream, cheesy goodness.
The French people really do have the best food.
Mm-hmm. Lots of butter.
And the worst people.
I don't know. I don't really know any actual French people. They're rude, right?
Racist?
Really?
Oh, yeah. French people are very racist.
I have read that there is a specific, like, mental sort of... It's not a disease, but there's something that happens to Japanese people when they visit France because the cultures are so different, because French people are so rude and Japanese people value politeness so much that they get, like, bullied in France and they have, like, mental breakdowns.
That
makes
sense.
What it's called, but there's, like, specifically Japanese people have a very hard time.
Have, like,
I saw that in
attacks.
A documentary. Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. It would be French people. I feel like it would be, like... Like, I don't think, like, Mexican people are rude, but I think there is a punctuality that Japanese people value that Mexican people don't. So it's like...
Why Mexican people?
Because don't you think in Mexico it's like oh, we're going to have dinner at 7, and it's like, you get there at 9,
in
maybe.
In Spain, for
sure.
Sure,
Spain.
Yeah.
But I think Mexico's like that, too.
Oh, probably. I don't know. But yeah, it is. It's like
it's not a rudeness thing, but I could see how it'd be perceived as rude by Japanese people.
Absolutely, yeah, and so it's very confusing to them. When I was in Spain, I remember a professor telling us like, it's rude. This is insane, right? Because even in America, we value punctuality. Like, if you have a job interview that starts at like 3 o'clock. And say, like, normally we would show up at, like, 2:50, wait in the waiting room or whatever. Like, being exactly on time or especially early is rude.
Yeah.
And it's actually probably not going to start until, like, 3:45, and that's not a big deal.
Oh, I fucking hate that.
Yeah, where's the efficiency?
Well, that's, like, that just conflicts with our, I think, like, New York sensibilities.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, I don't have time for you to be on your own schedule.
Right.
So it's, like, what do numbers mean if we're just...
Exactly.
It makes me feel like uptight, but
right. No, no, no.
But there's a certain level of efficiency that you need to adhere to.
It's necessary in order to live your life.
Right.
If you can't, that you really, I know. So culturally, somehow that's not rude over there, but here it's like, how is it not rude to be like, oh, well, we'll start when I say we start. I don't care what your day looks like.
Doesn't it seem like all culture is just passed down from one dude? So like there was one dude who just was never on time for anything. He's like, that's just how I live my life.
Well, that's actually, my grandmother told me that, I don't know if this is true, but I tell people this all the time. The lisp, the Spanish lisp, like specifically from Spain, there was a prince like hundreds of years ago who had a lisp, and he was like, all right, well, that's how we all talk now. That's just how we're all going to speak, because
yeah.
He was embarrassed that he had a lisp. And now to this day, they still speak with a lisp.
Well, I guess, like, it is true then. Like, everybody's culture is just descended from some royal family, some guy, some king, you know?
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones!
No!
Harry Potter.
Now you're not even. You're just.
They're in the same universe.
Are they? That's
yeah.
Funny.
Hogwarts is in Westeros.
You know what I read? I read that Westeros is inspired by Staten Island.
Yeah.
That George R. R. Martin, I forget where he lived, but he would look out at Staten Island and say, oh, what a beautiful.
Wow.
Maybe he lived on Staten Island. He was looking out at Jersey City or something.
You've told me this story so many times, and every time you change it, and you're like, it was Long Island City.
And I don't know what it was, but I know it's some stupid place that nobody would want to live.
George R. R. Martin is just doing J.R.R. Tolkien with tits and wieners. Oh.
Was Tolkien gay?
I don't know.
Oh, no, he was super religious. C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were friends, right? They were like...
I don't think... Was Tolkien religious? This is the podcast where we don't know shit about shit. I've listened back to some of the podcasts we've done so far. I'm like, well, that's wrong. That's very wrong. I'm just sitting on Wikipedia. Well, that's incorrect. Joe Biden never did that. And that's not what that movie was about. And
listen, that's not why people... This isn't a learning podcast. This isn't education.
Yeah, right?
We're doing it because you get to hear us having sex the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen very closely. Ooh. Thank you.
Hold on. Let me finish this chowder.
You turned right, it into a
now we can have sex
dad joke.
Well, I have something to tell you.
No,
you're gonna be a mom.
Am I?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
You're pregnant.
How do you know before I do?
I keep track of these things. I got an app on my phone that tells me.
That'd be sweet. Someday that's gonna happen.
What?
Your phone's gonna tell you you're pregnant. You're not gonna have to pee on a stick like a cave woman. Isn't that insane?
Like back in the day, they just peed on a branch.
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. It grew a mushroom. I'm pregnant.
Doesn't that seem like a New Yorker cartoon?
Yeah.
The original EBT test or whatever.
No, a New Yorker cartoon is like a cat playing the violin. And
no,
then it
it's
says,
a cat saying like, I don't know.
Swipe right.
Some internet term, and it's a sentient giraffe.
You gotta log on to my Gmail,
yeah,
and
sorry,
that's a dog.
I'm a giraffe, and I'm texting. I'm a New Yorker cartoon.
You don't get it? Fuck you, New Yorker. Unless you want to publish some of our cartoons.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much.
I have a cartoon in Mad Magazine.
That's wonderful, babe. I'm very proud of you.
Oh, that sounded condescending.
What is wrong with you?
Fuck.
What?
Write in if that sounded condescending as fuck.
I genuinely
write it in the reviews.
See, this is what happens. We fuck with each other so much. That's why this relationship is
fucked. I don't fuck with anybody.
But it's because
it's over.
We broke up at like 20 minutes ago. But
no, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. Remember I told you we were breaking up and I mean it? We broke up.
What?
Oh, you didn't know?
When did you about what?
I forget. But we're broken up. But anyway, whenever I try to be like sincerely nice to you, you don't
what
like it
that?
And you tell me that it's my fault. Like, because I'm always an asshole to you that you don't know how to. But I think it's you getting squirrely. Huh. I think you get
no,
uncomfortable.
No, that sounded condescending.
No, it didn't. I really am genuinely
okay,
excited
thank
for you.
You.
See, you're being.
So
and now
much.
You can't even say thank you. You're just like.
Oh, I'm supposed to say thank you for you saying good job.
Yeah, because I'm proud of you and I'm being...
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. I love you so much.
See, this is what I'm talking
about. I was
about.
Being sincere just then. You know I have an inner ear problem. You know I'm a deaf person.
You do this all the time. We can't...
I'm being sincere. Well, thank you. I love you. God.
It's so hard dating a comedian because we're like, oh yeah, I love you so much, you're great. Jerk off.
Anyway, I have a cartoon in Mad Magazine, the newest issue of Mad Magazine, which will be out when this podcast comes out. Me and my buddy Jason Chatfield got a full page,
and I have nothing to say about it.
Good,
because you'll.
Well, it makes me feel bad. Worked real hard on it. I really didn't.
I really like it, and I'm happy about it.
Thanks. It's been a good... This is what I wanted to say on the podcast. It's been a good... it was a good comedy weekend, I feel like.
Yeah. We had a show, a weekly show.
You know, this podcast is called Suicide Pact because... Which I feel like we've never really explained it. And we never will.
Yeah, it's none of your business.
The end.
It's nothing specific. It's just that we're going to kill ourselves together on October 21st, 2021, mm-hmm. live.
Put rocks in our pockets and walk into the Hudson.
Okay.
Oh.
Whatever.
No, live at Caroline's. Bud Dwyer style.
Yeah.
But it was a good weekend. Comedy is stressful, and so is having a full-time job.
Boyfriend.
But, hey, watch it. One of these days, I'm going to punch you in the face to
your dad.
One of these days, Alice,
I'm going to beat you with a pipe.
I'm going to shove a sock in your mouth and tie your hands together and drop you over the Brooklyn Bridge.
One of these days, Alice, I'm going to stick your hand on the stove and hold it there for a while, okay?
Oh, man, I miss the days when spousal abuse was silly and fun.
Yeah.
You know?
It was like women could just like beat the shit out of their husbands with a rolling pin. And it's like, well, he came home drunk from the pub. What else are you going to do? And then he sleeps on the front stoop. And everyone's like, well, that's what men get.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you're like, one of these days.
Yeah. And then he had butts her till her teeth come out.
Punch you till I see brains.
One of these days, Alex.
What are we talking about? Oh, it was a good comedy weekend. It was a good comedy weekend. We had our show. We had our first installment of the Parkside Comedy Show at Parkside Lounge.
It was great.
Which is every Friday.
At 7 p.m.
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m. Great place. We had an awesome show. Really good time.
Music, Matt Leary and Mia Faith Hammond.
Blue Cross, really, Brooke Shields.
Our band, our house band.
The most difficult name.
Blue Cross, Brooke Shields. That's a tongue twister. Blue Cross, Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields. I ruined it. But so that show was really fun. Everybody did a great job. We hung out. We partied afterwards. Oh, by the way, if you want to come on that show, go to Eventbrite.com and type in Parkside Comedy. It'll come right up. You can buy
it's five tickets. Bucks.
$5 online. $7 at the door. And then the next day, I know it was nothing. It wasn't like a big deal, but we had that show at the Creek.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
It was really fun.
It was good. I also had a show at New York Comedy Club.
Right. Where you crushed.
Like, basically at the same time as the Parkside show. I had to run, hop in a cab, go to New York Comedy Club. Yeah, I felt like a real comedian.
Doesn't it feel good?
Yeah. It was nice.
I was thinking about this recently. When I'm suicidal, I'm always like, oh, it's because comedy is so fucking brutal. And the truth is, I only feel bad about comedy when I'm not doing it. When I'm doing it, I'm way happier.
You're just a little bitch.
Okay.
Well,
is this
think
a joke? Is
it.
This a joke? We're
no,
doing
I
jokey
mean, no,
relationship
I mean it.
Stuff.
No, I mean it. I just think sometimes you lack perspective.
Explain. Christ, I was trying to say a nice thing.
Were you? No, I'm doing a bad.
Go on. Analyze me.
I just think you gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. Ben Shapiro over here.
Yeah.
I'm about to get owned.
Yeah, pwned.
Pwned.
Listen up.
Purple-haired feminist gets pwned by.
Listen up, libtard.
Midget
no,
in a suit.
It just it, don't you think it's if you're depressed, but it's all based on one outside force that's like
what's the
malleable
outside force
doing comedy?
Uh huh.
That it's like fixable.
What I was saying was when it's fixed, when I get to do it, I'm having a great time.
Yeah,
It's important to remember when you're not doing it, when you're far away from comedy, you're just like, comedy fucking sucks and I hate the direction it's going.
I guess all I'm
saying it's like
is
a negative force in my life. But when you realize it's actually the absence of comedy.
Right.
And when I get to do it, I'm having a great time.
I think that's what I was failing to say, which is like, don't forget, even when you're bummed about it, that it's great.
Well, I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
I guess not.
Which is the reason I'm bummed about it is because I don't get to participate in the great thing.
So when a chunk of time goes by
where I don't get to go on stage, that's when I'm upset.
I know. I don't really know what I'm saying.
I'm not mad at the art form.
I guess I'm just saying cheer up sometimes.
You're just really not saying much of anything, are
I
you?
Know. Sometimes I listen to this podcast and I'm like, oh, I was just not hearing the words that were coming at me.
Yeah.
And
you're usually looking into the middle distance.
I'm not. I'm staring right at
about
you right
shoes.
Now. I'm not thinking
what
about
the
shoes.
Fuck women think
now
about.
Now I'm thinking about shoes.
That show with the Japanese woman who cleans people's closets.
Marie Kondo.
Oh.
That's what she. That's how she says her name. I think I could do a pretty good Marie Kondo impression if it was...
You just did it. Do it again.
Legally allowed.
Yeah, how come when you do an impression of an Asian person, it's racist even if it's good? According to other people.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney.
Yeah,
how come?
Beautiful performance.
just Oscar worthy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Long well, Duck Dong?
Yeah, but don't this reminds me of the conversation we had last week where it's ignorant people going like, we can't acknowledge them. We can't talk about them. I think I can't tell if that's racist and therefore it's racist.
You like to watch this guy on YouTube who analyzes actors' accents
I
in
love
movies.
That. Yeah.
And we were watching one where he was analyzing this woman who was doing a Korean accent.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Was it
Korean or was it Filipino?
I know it was I don't remember.
I think it was Filipino.
I want to say Korean.
I want to say Filipino.
Hey, guess what, Ian? I really want to say
you
Korean.
You say yours, I'll say mine.
Okay. Well, you guys, it's up to you to figure out because as you know, we don't know.
I'll
anything.
Do the accent now.
No.
You
no,
can
no.
decide which one it is.
No. But anyway,
hey,
tell the story.
I'm from the Philippines.
Stop it.
That wasn't
and
anything.
You're like, why is it racist when we try to do impressions?
That's still not racist.
Okay.
Now this is racist.
No. Tell the stories. Tell the stories.
So the guy was saying that there was a woman in a movie who did an accent. She was an American woman.
Mm-hmm.
But her parents were from either the Philippines or Korea. And she was nailing the accent. But all these like SJWs said that she was being racist
because they didn't know.
Yeah,
this is what happens. They didn't know that she was raised by Koreans or Filipinos.
Mm-hmm. And this guy who analyzes accents was like, "This is dead
on.
You can't get
yeah.
any better than this."
Yeah,
but they're like, "That sounds silly to us."
Yeah,
people don't talk like that.
Or sometimes I think it's like the people. Whose culture it is, but they're like they want to hate the person who's sort of coming.
Oh, I don't think that was the case. I think it was like white people
probably
that were like, "This sounds bad."
Because
you listen to it, and if you're not familiar with that culture,
yeah,
it's gonna hit your ear weird.
Yeah,
and you're gonna be like, "Oh, they're doing a goofy voice. They're doing like a silly voice." And
oh,
it's just like,
right. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
just not. You know, you're not acquainted with
caricature.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Blood Diamond?
No. What is that?
This is, Leonardo DiCaprio playing a South African guy. The silliest.
South Africa.
Yeah, the silliest accent.
That's great.
It's so bad. I don't know. I don't even know what I mean, I do and I don't. I've watched the Oscar Pistorius trial. I know what South African accents sound like.
What do they have to say, milady?
Unpopular opinion, Leonardo DiCaprio fucking sucks.
No, he can do one good accent. Do you know what it is?
It's a mentally challenged kid.
Retard, yes.
I stopped myself and you had to go in there and fucking... But yeah, no, he was amazing in that movie. And then I think he used up all his comedy... Or
that was a comedy. It was pretty funny.
All of his acting.
Match in the
juices,
gas tank.
Stop it. I want hot dogs at my birthday party.
Tell me that's not
Gilbert,
a comedy.
Gilbert, I want hot dogs at my birthday party. That's a spot on impression. And then he was never good again.
Yeah.
Ever.
He stinks.
He was really bad. And
you
then
you want to like
the,
him.
The year
or do
he,
I?
He
I don't know.
The year he won an Oscar, they're like, but he deserves it because he's been acting for a while. And that was some fucking...
Yeah, it's not our fault that like great directors keep putting him in their movies.
Yes.
And making like pretty good movies with a terrible lead.
In spite
lead.
Of him, yeah. Man.
Although, what was he supposed to win an Oscar for? Like,
the
what were they mad
Revenant.
About?
That's what he wanted
oh,
for.
Dude.
Oh,
dude. Oh, that's what he did win it for?
Yeah, that's what he
did
win it
for. Did you see The Revenant?
No, but I've heard he doesn't do much besides scream and crawl around in a bear pelt.
Who directed The Revenant?
I don't know.
I feel like that's one of those movies that if it was directed by the Coen brothers, it would have been better.
Oh, for sure. Most movies.
Like, it had a Coen brothers feel to it,
yeah,
but just wasn't... It's like a car that's not... The engine's not turning over all the way. It's like, you're almost there. And the ending was cool. It was kind of like that wide open type of Coen brothers ending where it's like...
Well, don't tell.
I'm not telling. I'm not saying shit. I'm just saying, you know how a Coen brother movie kind of ends and it's like up to you? It's like kind of what Jordan Peele was trying to do with Us, which we can talk about in a second.
Okay.
But, so that's what he did win for, you're saying?
Yeah, that's what he won.
What did people want him to win
that's
for
what I'm
previously?
Saying. I guess Aviator, Wolf of Wall Street.
I never saw Aviator.
Know.
Looked boring.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street was, I mean, he didn't like, nah, he was good in that.
He was good in that.
Did you like Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Me too. A lot of people didn't.
Why?
Because they said there was no, nobody got their comeuppance.
But that's what really happened.
Right. But kind of an argument against Scorsese films is that it
glorifies
bad people.
Yeah. Well, he
but,
does do that.
To your point, bad people get a lot of glory.
That's true. Yeah. I think he's making a point rather than.
Yeah. Sorry you misunderstood Scarface, which wasn't Scorsese, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like every fucking guy is like, oh, Scarface is the man. It's like, no.
Ugh.
He was a piece of shit.
Are we over that yet?
Scarface
glorification?
I don't know. MTV Cribs is off the air, so I can't tell you. You go in every rapper's house, and it's like, this is the
Scarface
room.
Scarface poster.
Yeah, this is the Scarface
dining
room
bowl.
Table. I remember, I think it was Trick Daddy. I was pretty sure it was Trick Daddy. Had, like, blinds, like, Venetian. Is that what it's called?
Venetian
blinds with, like, Scarface on it.
Oh, my God. Trick Daddy.
Trick Daddy ruled, though.
I don't know anything about Trick Daddy.
Yeah. Well, educate yourself.
Okay.
It's not for me. I don't need to educate you on Trick Daddy.
Fine. I'll listen to Trick Daddy myself.
Baby, because I'm a thug. We'll put it at the end of this podcast.
Okay.
We're going to get yanked off of iTunes real fast for all the extra nonsense.
Will that happen?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Probably. I don't know.
Oh, well, we'll be dead by then anyway.
Yeah, I just want to be a successful enough comedian that there's a YouTube video that exists of me, and the title is Ian Hunt Savage Moments.
Whoa, did you see that savage moment Ian Hunt had?
He went on a morning show and said nice gams to a lady who's a host, and that was savage.
So savage. He kicked a woman in the face in the front row. Savage.
We should make a Savage Moments video where it's just me and you stabbing a homeless man 15 times in the back, dragging him to a ravine.
Ian and Kat, Savage Moments.
Savage Moments.
Cry laughing emoji a million times.
Just a long 6-hour drive.
From the Pine Barrens.
Mm-hmm.
After we bury a homeless man.
One of us tries to turn on the radio and the other one slaps their hand away.
No, we sit in silence.
Savage.
That'd be pretty savage. What does savage mean? What does it take to be savage?
Are people aware of these Savage Moment videos? It's got to be just one guy making these compilations.
One guy makes all the Savage Moment videos. And it's always, not always.
It's
But whenever I see it, it's always somebody who I'm like,
What, the Savage Moments?
No, the comedian themselves. We just saw one, and that was, I like that comic. But a lot of times it's like, it's the suspect.
Who's
like,
the guy from The Wonder Years?
Oh, Fred Savage?
Yeah, it's Fred Savage.
Fred Savage. Savage Moments.
Savage Moments.
And that's the night Winnie and I had our first kiss. Savage Moment.
He's just punch fucking her in a Winnebago.
Why?
It's savage.
All right, fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think most of the times, like, we saw one just recently. It was like Mark Norman or something. That makes sense. But, like, sometimes you'll see somebody and you're like, oh, did you make that? Did you make a different YouTube account? And the right.
Oh, can we talk about how many specials we've been watching lately, or, you know, hard air quotes around the word specials, but where the audience, it's clearly a fucking laugh track.
Yes. Why did you?
I was looking at the comments on one video, and it was like, when you're killing so hard, it sounds like a laugh track, and everybody's like thumbs upping it. It's like, no, that's a laugh track.
There's one we watched recently where they tell a joke, the audience, the audio is just scream laughter, like people are in pain, falling out of their seats, just raucous, and then the video, nobody's moving.
Yeah, it's a wide shot and everybody's just sitting there.
It's just a still audience smiling. Yeah, probably
talking to their waitress. And also the laughter is like ha 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 ha. Cuts off.
You hear the same laugh. Yeah, the exact same laugh,
the same woman's like wind down over and over again. Or the setup, they're like, fellas, ha 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 ha.
Oh my god. That's how you know. Listen, I don't have much comedy advice because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing either, but I will say, when you watch somebody's tape on YouTube and they come out, the audience goes fucking nuts. It's somebody who's clearly new that nobody's ever heard of. The audience goes fucking nuts. And then they say, like, so I'm from Florida. And then people are already scream laughing. You're like, oh, this is a bringer. This is a bringer.
Yeah.
Why would anybody?
Yeah, you brought your friends.
Yeah.
Those are your friends.
This is a
laughing
room full of your friends. And, you know, not that it makes that big a difference if the jokes are good. That's what, like, bookers or whatever are listening to. But come on. That... And it's not like if you do a bringer to get a tape, you shouldn't tell your friends not to laugh, but
do you think there's such thing? Is it like, I don't think this is true when you're performing just like just a regular performance, but do you think there's such thing as too good of an audience for a tape?
Yeah.
Where you just go like, well, they're going to go nuts. No matter, like, especially if you go out and you're like, I'm from this place and everybody goes crazy. You're like, well, they're going to react that way to anything this person says.
I do think if I were a booker... I imagine.
And you are.
I am.
Parkside Comedy.
Holy
every
shit.
Friday, 7 p.m.
I forgot about that. I am. So be nice to me for once in your lives. If I were, so in that position, if I'm looking to book something, but I mean if I'm like a huge festival or whatever booker, and like you can only accept so many people and it's got to be the best of the best. I want to see how you affect like a neutral audience. So, like, I think I would be, my mind would be a little polluted, or I would be sort of turned off by an audience that clearly loves you no matter what, because you don't get an accurate, like, feel for how this person deals with an audience that may not like them at first, but be completely neutral. You know, I think that's important to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean... Like we said though, but the most egregious thing is the
adding laughter
afterwards, and you can see it on like real
big
specials, like on TV, and you're like, who are you fucking fooling? That's like the thing.
Anytime
you watch a scripted television show or movie where there's stand up in it, they always make that mistake where they add way too much laughter. Like if you watch, there's an episode of the new Twilight Zone where the comedian is setting up a joke and everybody's screaming, and it's like, I get that this character's supposed to be killing, but nobody kills in this
way. That one, just to play devil's advocate, that might be a purposeful, like, this is a warped, spooky universe, you know, it's the Twilight Zone, so it's supposed to the story is supposed to tell, like, this is some weird alternate universe where this shitty comedian gets scream laughs at no matter what they say.
There's still a way you can do that where you add the laughter after the punchline and the laughter builds. Like, if somebody... this is why people keep fucking up with these specials that they keep putting out, where somebody comes out on stage and they're just like grinning and fucking wiggling around on stage and the laughter's already building. It's like that doesn't make any sense. Like, I understand that it's like an alternate reality, but that's kind of a stretch to say that.
But what I mean is, do you see what I mean? Where it's like, there's almost a sinister quality of somebody, I haven't seen this episode, but I imagine it's like the lesser comedian is watching somebody else kill, right? And they're like, how do they do it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of a sinister quality to like these like lemmings of an audience are going crazy at everything he does.
Yeah, but that that was, episode is what, an hour long, and like the plot is that the main character eventually gets laughter too, and it's the same type of thing where he's like, he's on stage talking about gun violence and nobody's laughing, and then he goes, hey, I have a dog, and everybody goes, oh. And then
that's insane.
If you're mixing the audio or if you're adding the laughter, you got to be really good at it. You got to know when to like slowly lead people into
I have yet to see a scripted like series or anything representation of stand-up that's accurate at all. Like, have you seen that movie Robert De Niro made?
The Comedian? You told me about it.
Holy shit, that's insane. One of the greatest actors of our time cannot realistically play a comedian at all. It's so painful to watch. And he's supposed to be like a legend.
Yeah.
He's got Jessica Kirsten opening for him at the Cellar. She's crushing. I think they just did like a pretty much a regular set and just filmed her, let her go. She's amazing. And then he comes on. I wish I could remember the jokes he was telling, but it's just like, women, am I right? And it's not supposed to be self-aware or anything. He's supposed to be washed up.
Wasn't he like a talk show host, or he was like a big late night comic or something?
No, in King of Comedy, he's...
I thought in this one, too, he was like, I don't know, like a big deal on like the Tonight Show.
He was huge. I don't know if he ever hosted. I'm sure he had
done
the Tonight Show or something. I don't know. He's just supposed to be this legend hanging out at the Cellar, and it's just like, oh, this is so inaccurate.
Well, De Niro does hang out at the Cellar all the time.
It's funny. Yeah, I think he's a comedy, like... nerd.
Yeah, he's a comedy nerd. Well, that comedy is like, I always say, comedy is like hip hop music in that everybody watches it and thinks to themselves, well, that's just talking. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then they try it and they fucking suck at it.
Yeah. And it's so, I was like delighted almost to watch somebody who's so talented just miss the mark entirely. It just doesn't work because you're not really a comedian. You can't fake that. I don't know how to. Do you know what I mean?
No, I absolutely know what you mean. I mean, everybody talks about you get to fucking take time to find your voice or whatever.
Yeah,
But there's
you
a truth to
it.
Like,
together in a year, you can't just create a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Make you.
There
have
was
to
another
cast...
one. Who was that? What was that movie with that woman? Who?
Oh, it was like Nina. It was just called Nina.
Was that what it was called?
And I like her a lot. She's from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
What's
she's
her
name? Great.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. We didn't watch the actual. The trailer was horrific.
It's just like, well, I got my period on my date's like, face last night.
It was like, my pussy slimes everywhere. Wah, wah. The audience is scream laughing. You're just like, gross, what?
Yeah.
She's just like, it's like cottage cheese falling out of my pants. What do you want? I can't date. So hard dating in the city. I'm a mess. And then it's like, she drinks and she's sad.
Whoa. Ooh. Whoa, cool. She does? She's in her 20s and she has sex and stuff?
She's interesting. Oh, and she was auditioning for SNL. They're making her do impressions and... she can't do impressions. They were so bad, but I think they were supposed to be good. Mm. It was so hard. When you can't tell, like, this is what I'm saying, like, in the Robert De Niro movie and this, it's like, wait, I can't tell if they're supposed to be good or they're supposed to be bad. Like, I think they're supposed to be good, and they're not good. And so it's just like, I'm taken out of this movie because I don't even understand where I'm supposed to lie here.
One of the problems, too, is, like, I know they bring on stand-up comedians, successful stand-up comedians, like, punch stuff up or to give advice or tell people the way things are or even, like, full-on write the jokes. And something I don't think people realize is that even good comedians are bad.
Right.
What you're doing is you're whittling down for, like, years to find these gems hidden in... miles of shit.
And you know how to tell your jokes, right? If I had to write jokes for another comedian in their voice.
That's why a lot of late night stuff sucks.
I know, yeah. I don't know.
That's why Letterman was cool because he would say kind of these like hacky one-liner monologue jokes, and then he would like, you know, look at the camera like,
yeah,
what the fuck? Because
he, yeah, he was self-aware
this?
And he was able
or like
to
Conan.
Take...
Conan comments on everything. He's yeah. like, okay,
yeah,
you know, he'll comment
you
on the audience's reaction.
Yeah.
It makes it more interesting.
Seth Meyers does that too. I saw him do that during a monologue. That was like, it was a terrible pun joke that bombed, and then he commented like that. The writer who told him that that wouldn't work is probably so delighted right now because he was like, no, I'll make this work. And
yeah.
It just didn't. Wait, I had another point about, I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
Well,
I don't know. Let me finish. Can I finish? Can I finish?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say how
Dragons and the Lannisters.
Good night, everybody. We love you. See you next week.
Funk, hit me up with some of that thug. Yeah. That's like that. Hit him in the chest with it. Time to get in the head with Buddy Roll, y'all. Check it out.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
I'm big and
big. Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right.
Check it out. Could it be my baggy jeans or my gold teeth that make me different from y'all? Ain't tripping, dawg, but listen, dawg, I was raised a little different, y'all. Doing my thing, using my ghetto slang, and I'm representing thugs. Sure, she's who I roll with, watch them niggas that gon' love this. Niggas who I don't bun, on the run, they got 10 years on parole. If you can't say it, dawg, I'ma say it for y'all. Motherfuck the popos. Fuck the judge, the CEOs, fuck the DA and POs. Fuck the family of the victim, witness, and stitching assholes.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
A thing and
thing. Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
I'm hot, oh yeah.
Check it out. See, I'm so tight, tight. Niggas be like, that nigga got so many hoes. And I know he got clout, look in his mouth. That nigga got so many goals. Tell him they hoes. It's something up with that nigga. Bitch, I've been watching him. You must wanna fuck this nigga. My name alone, been known to break up happy homes. No disrespect, dawg, but you ain't had no business even answer her phone. If your ass home, being me and her kid been getting it on. And you could've been hitting the right, cause ever since the night she been hitting the phone. She wanna thug.
I don't know what this world's gonna bring, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
A thing and thing.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
I'm hot, oh yeah.
Check it out. Since y'all niggas wanna smoke blunts, tote guns, I'ma show you how to thug it, dawg. Give me a half a pill and some Zephyrs, and I'm like, fuck it, dawg. I'm gonna get my ecstasy, got the best of me, and none of you niggas ain't stressing me. I got one request in this bitch, and you can have the rest of this shit. If a nigga drop some shit, it's whack as hell and don't make no damn sense. Take it back, talk about it, and tell your dog, don't even buy that shit. And I don't care who he is, away from, I represent thug shit. And you ain't gotta give me my props and nominate me, cause damn it, I love this.
I don't know what this world's gonna bring, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
A thing and
thing. Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
I'm hot, oh yeah.
Check it out.
I don't know what this world's gonna bring, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug. Check it out.